If we do not have self-giving love in us, the Bible says we have not passed from death to life. So without love, everything we do is in vain. I've been preaching on absolutes. Probably the greatest absolute of all absolutes is love. That's an absolute. The Bible, Jesus says that's the way that people would know that we're his disciples is by our love for one another. But a lot of times you can't tell that in a lot of churches. There's a lot of church growth because of strife and anger and rebellion. People getting mad at each other and moving across town starting another church. I don't know exactly what that is, but I can't imagine Jesus doing that. Without love, everything we do is in vain. 1 Corinthians 13:1, this is not my imagination. This is what the word says. If I can speak in the tongues of men and even of angels. If you speak in tongues and your means a junkyard dog, you need to pray a lot more in tongues. Can you say amen? Until the fruit of the Spirit starts producing in your life, because the number one fruit is love. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, benevolence. Somebody say amen. If I can speak in the tongues of men and even of angels, but have not love, I'm only a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. And if I have a prophetic powers and understand all the secret truths and mysteries. Now, very often those Christians come to me wanting some secret truth, some mystery. They want to grow in some mystical something. If you want to grow, start with love, loving people. Understand all the secret truths and mysteries and possess all knowledge. And if I have sufficient faith so that I can remove mountains, that have not love, I am nothing, a useless nobody. I'll pray for you if you pray for me. Yay. But the number one absolute is love. Speaking in tongues, prophetic gifts, the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge, the gift of faith. And there's a lot of Christians brag about that. I have this gift, I operate in this gift. The number one gift is love. Amen. If you'll let me call it that. The gift of faith. Given to the poor and martyrdom. All of these things, they are not a measure of true spirituality. The true measure of spirituality is loving people enough to extend a helping hand. Real love is indeed. Anybody can tell you, oh, I love you. You know, but where are they when you need somebody to pray for you, or need somebody to help you, or need somebody to do something that you can't do for yourself. 1 John 3:14, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. In other words, we know we're born again because all of a sudden we have love for people. That's the number one fruit of a born-again life is loving people. Loving God first and loving people. And you can't really love God and not love his people. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. In other words, not born again. There's a lot of people proclaiming to be Christians, and they don't have any fruit. Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruit. The number one fruit has to be love. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. The United States of America needs this message today very, very badly because we have people all over this nation whipping up hate against one another, against other Americans. We have enough enemies around the world wanting to destroy us without us hating each other and deliberately whipping up hate between the rich and the poor, whipping up hate between black and white, whipping up hate between black, white, and Jews, you know, hate, 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 hate. And God says you're going to hell. You're not saved. You're not born again. If you hate anybody. People who hate and cause people to hate each other do not have eternal life. Forget all about heaven, because if you hate people, you ain't going. 1 John 4:7 says, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. God is a source of love. Satan is a source of hate. If you're prejudiced against someone and hate them just because of skin color, it really says you're of the devil. dear friends, 1 John 4:7. Let us love one another, for love comes from God. God is a source of love. Satan is a source of hate. Satan's a source of hate. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Y'all like that? Verse 20, if anyone says, I love God, let's hate his, what are y'all doing? Y'all praying? What are you praying? Stop praying that I can speak English. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. Now, this sometimes we'll take this very personally and say, well, I just need to love more. Well, let me tell you something. You can really recognize a godly person by their love. And we need to learn to recognize godly people. How many know Linda Deering? Yes. I mean, you can't meet her and not know that she loves you. I mean, she just radiates that kind of love. And I want to do that too. And so some people wonder, well, are they really good people? What? Watch them. Do they love people? Amen. If they're mean to people and hate people. Now, don't misunderstand, it doesn't mean you always have to be sickening sweet. I've seen people here in this church, they seem to be kind of grumpy. And they weren't always chatting with me and stuff and seemed a little grumpy. But boy, when I had a need, they were right there. That's love. So you can't go by that. But when you see people really loving people and helping people and blessing people and giving to people, that might be a good friend. And a lot of false prophets and sheep's and wolf's clothing, they come with all, they're spiritual. They're bragging about all their gifts. Y'all paying attention yet? And they're bragging about how they have this great relationship with God, but they're mean to people. You see, this is a good way to recognize brothers and sisters. It doesn't mean everybody's perfect, but if somebody really helps you, and I, as a pastor, I very often judge people just by that. I've had people, I think, man, they just downright ornery. And you let somebody get in trouble, and they're right there with their billfold out, ready to help them. Hey, I like those kind of people. Amen. You see, this makes it very clear, if we hate anyone, we are not going to make it to heaven. Today, many people are whipping up hate, as I said, between the races, between the wealthy and the poor, and between Christians and non-Christians. And the sad news is a lot of people are believing them. And a lot of things they're telling just outright, bald-faced, premeditated, intentional lies. And it's because they really have an agenda. And very often they're Marxists and they want to destroy this nation by whipping up strife and anger and rebellion. And that's what those people always do. I'm a history major, and I'm telling you right now, I see a lot of signs of Marxism all over this nation from the history books of people whipping up hate to destroy us. And I'm just telling you, we need to be smarter than that. As Christians, we don't have any choice but to love even love them. You don't agree with them, go along with them, but you pray for them, they'll get saved. The best way to take down a Marxist is to get him born again. Amen. I mean, the early church had a problem with this guy named Saul of Tarsus, but how did he change? Jesus Christ saved him. He called him to be a preacher, and he became probably the greatest preacher ever in the history of the church, or at least until now. This is what Marxists always do. They're doing the devil's work, so always reject hate. It can destroy your life. Always choose love. There was a black woman and her daughters and children who came to this church, I guess it's been 27, 28, 29 years ago, 30 years ago, and she had a single daughter, And she went to UT, and she'd had several issues. She'd had several kids out of wedlock. She told me once that I've ruined my life. I says, no, if you will serve God, God's got a plan for your life. And I encouraged people to get a good education, so she went to UT to work on a degree. We were all praying for her and supporting her. And a professor taught his class that white people are racist, all of them. And that is just a lie. Amen. There are a few racists left, but we're getting rid of them. If number one, you need to define a race. What is race? If somebody hates. The Bible doesn't use the word racism. It's just the word hate. Yeah. That's all racism is, hating people because of the color. And you can hate a person because they're white. You can hate a person because they're Jewish. You can hate a person because they're black. Right. You can hate a person for all kind of reasons, but you're still going to hell. They are all evil, and he said that all white people are evil. They use black people as pawns. And the daughter, they were in my victory group. I actually had a victory group in her house. I was in her house a lot. I thought, best of friends. And she reminded me of my own mother a whole lot. And my mother was a farm lady, so her skin was pretty dark. So she reminded me of my mother. And I just really adored them. And this professor just kept spewing hate day after day after day. And as I said, I love that family, spent a lot of time with them. And they left the Knoxville Christian Center, left this church. And later the mother told someone, we were just pawns to bury. Boy, that broke my heart. Can you imagine that? They believed that lying professor. And they walked out of a church that probably loved them more than any place they'd ever been. We cannot listen to these people. They're going to destroy us. You see, that broke my heart. I love them like family. And they walked away because of a lying, demonized professor full of hate. That's his own problem. You got no business spreading that to everybody else. And I know there's racism, and I know there's people who've been mistreated. But a lot of us trying to make up for that. Can you say amen? Now, I can tell you right now, most of the white people I know right now favor black people in every way they can. And you may not believe that, but you need to open your eyes and start looking for people who love. Amen. Both ways. Everybody. Hispanic, Jewish, black, white, Jew, whatever. Asian, whatever. We must recognize when we're loved and not believe the devil's lies. You know, the devil tries to pull that on me. Dottie and I, we were gone last week, and we went into a Waffle House. And all this, you know how you sit right there where the servers are. And we were sitting toward the middle, and all these servers were standing there just totally talking, totally ignoring us. And they're all white except one. And finally, after about 10, 15 minutes, we're sitting there being patient. I wasn't patient any longer. I said, hey, can somebody please wait on us? And they got in a big argument with each other. Well, you're supposed, that's your table. And I've never seen anything like this in a restaurant before in my life. They didn't know whose table that was. And the black lady says, well, that's not my table. And the other, well, it's not mine either. And they just got confused over who was supposed to take care of that table. And if I'd been black, I'd been sitting there thinking these people are prejudiced. Y'all pay attention? And so we got to get that stuff out of our head. Amen. Amen. And ask them to serve you, and then if they don't serve you, then pray that God will burn the place down. No. No. That's exactly the opposite. That was the devil. So Satan is the father of lies. Hate is Satan's work. Those who are whipping up hate are tools of the devil. And if you think somebody might be a racist, either way, press the issue a little bit and see. Amen. If all those servers had refused to serve me after I called their attention to it, then I would have thought they're prejudiced against my hat, because I always wear a hat. So reject hate, no matter where it comes from. And let's focus on love and what it is like for a few minutes. How do you recognize love? How do you know when people really love you? It's not just sweet words. As a pastor, I have had people telling me, oh, we love you, you're so wonderful. And all the while, I know they've been spreading lies about me all over the place. 1 John 13:4, love never is envious. Do you get upset when somebody gets a new car and you don't? Or a better job and you don't? Love never is envious or nor boils over with jealousy, is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily, puffed up. Love is not envious, boastful, or haughty, and puffed up. James 4:10 says, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. You see, if we will humble ourselves and love all people, God will exalt us. I don't care who you are. If you really, truly serve God, nobody can put their foot on you and hold you down. Can you say amen? 1 Corinthians 13:5, love, it is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It is not rude. It is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, that's really what it's talking about. None of us really have the true ability of love until we're really, truly born again. Not the kind of love we're talking about, self-giving love. God's kind of love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for it is not self-seeking, it is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it, pays no attention to a suffered wrong. In other words, it's very patient with people. It doesn't blow up every time some little something goes wrong, because you love people and you give them the benefit of the doubt. We are not to seek our rights, but the rights of others. You see, the Christianity works backwards to the world. If you want your rights, then you help other people get their rights. If you want to be in the front of the line, help other people to get in the front of the line. But my Bible says I'm surrounded with favors with a shield, and if I'll serve God, God will put me to the front of the line. You see, we're not to seek our own blessing, but the blessings of others. And that, a lot of times, that's the problem. We're so centered on ourselves. Nobody loves me. Nobody cares about me. Nobody talks to me. Nobody greets me. Well, what about you? Are you greeting other people, loving other people, blessing other people? What are you doing? You see, this is the reason a lot of Christians are not blessed. If we love like this, God will lift us up and bless us. Philippians 2:4. Each of you Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. Look at that, interest of others. If we want God seeking our interest, we must seek the interest of others. This is God's way, love. Love does not rejoice when black people are mistreated. Or white people, or Jewish people, or Hispanics, or Asians. Love always rejoices when people get justice. 1 Corinthians, see, the Bible's just saying all this stuff. I'm just reading it. 1 Corinthians 13:6, it does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Rejoices when truth wins out. Rejoices when evil is conquered. You see, I love people, so it makes me angry when I see anyone mistreated. It just does. Amen. Almost got in a fight trying to protect the homosexual manager down here at Starbucks not too long ago, because this guy, I felt like he's about ready to attack her, and man, I'm standing right behind her, and if he had attacked her or said one word to her, I was going to take him to the ground. And a big guy like me, you know, he'd been in real trouble. Except he's about twice my size, but I didn't care because I was going to protect her. Amen. And preacher getting fat, it might cost him his job. Well, I'm willing to lose my job when it comes to something like that. Amen. Hopefully you wouldn't fire a pastor if he's defending people, but you never know. God wants and demands justice for everyone. Romans chapter 12, verse 19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine. There you have it. Just walk away and say, I'm only God, let God take care of this. I mentioned this, I think, maybe once before. I'm an excellent driver and never speed, except every time I get on the road. But I pulled in this parking lot and had made a real sharp turn. There's no way I could have been going fast. But this guy jumped out of his car, and he was threatening me and everything else, and I got out and got right back in his face. And finally, something just happened. The power of God came over me and came over him. He got back in his car and drove away. God protected me. And the Lord said to me, he said, you will never see him again. Because God was unhappy by the way he treated me. And I'm telling you right now, people who mess with God's people, it doesn't matter what your race is. God will protect you. And listen to this. Rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I'll repay, saith the Lord. If we give God time, he'll bring about justice for all of us. But what about slavery? Have you ever read a history book? God brought about justice. And the slaves were set free. And it was nearly all white boys dying on the battlefield to set them free. Somebody say amen. And so God brings about justice. There was nothing they could do to set themselves free, but God set them free. Yes. And that's been, what, over 150 years ago? So leave things alone and trust God. Amen. God, and I'm not saying that you shouldn't stand up for yourself. I mean, I had a policeman. I felt like mistreated Dottie, and I called the mayor, and I wrote the governor, and you need to stand up for yourself. But you don't get in the street and start acting like a fool. You say amen. And you do what you can do and trust God to do what you can't do. Amen. See, God repays. Now let's look at the true characteristics of love. 1 Corinthians 13:4. Love endures long and is patient and kind. In other words, it doesn't get mad the first time you come to church and somebody doesn't shake your hand, get mad, stomp out the door. Love endures long and is patient and kind. Love does not give up easily. Love does not get mad and leave the church just because things do not go our way. Love is patient and kind when others are rude and crude. 1 Corinthians 13:7, love bears up under anything and everything that comes. Is ever ready to believe the best of every person. In other words, the jury's out. I'm not going to judge them just because they're bald-headed or because they have a weird hairdo. I'm not going to judge them. I'm going to wait, and I'm going to watch to see if there's love there. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes. Is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Give them a chance. Love gives them a chance. It hopes, its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances and endures everything without weakening. You can see that a lot of mothers. I know they just robbed two banks, but they're wonderful kids. You know, they're always believing the best about their kids. So love bears up when mistreated, is ready to believe the best, and endures when people need us. Endures sometimes through all kind of stuff just to help people. Love bears up when mistreated, and is ready to believe the best, and endures when people need us. And sometimes as Christians, the people that really mistreat us and abuse us will someday need us. And that may be the thing that saves them if we'll just go ahead and love them and help them anyway. Love is willing to sacrifice time and money. In Luke chapter 10, verse 24, now if you want to know what love looks like, this is it. And I mention this sometimes, but I want to just lay it right out very carefully today. I haven't read this that I can remember in quite a while. Luke chapter 10, verse 25, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested Jesus, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?" So Jesus just put it right back on him. Verse 27, so he answered and said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." Verse 28, and Jesus said to him, "You have answered rightly. Do this and you will live." So what's the absolute love? Love God, love people. And he says, if you'll just love God and love people, you'll make it. Verse 29, but he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" And I'm glad he asked that question, because I've wondered that myself. Then Jesus answered and said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem." Now the Jews lived in Jerusalem, so they came from Jerusalem. Samaritans lived in Samaria, so they came from Samaria. And so this guy was a Jew. And he said to him, "You've answered rightly. Do this and you will live." Verse 29. And he said, wanting to justify himself, "And who is my neighbor?" Then Jesus answered and said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Verse 31. Now by chance a certain priest came down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. When the Jewish preacher from Jerusalem came by, he walked right by and left the man there bleeding and dying. Some preacher. And then a lawyer. You expect this of lawyers. Actually, it's a Levite, but they love them. They studied the law and everything. But they were supposed to be God's people, God's chosen people, Levites. They did the ministry of the temple, the ministry of the sacrifices, and took care of the tabernacle and the temple. Likewise, the Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. He didn't help either. Where's the love? And that's Jesus' point. Amen. But a certain Samaritan, a guy the Jews hated, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. Verse 35, on the next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper and said to him, "Take care of him. Take care of this man that has been beaten up and robbed. And whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you." Wow. That's loving your neighbor. A stranger. A Jew that hates you. I very well could. So Jesus knew our problems before we ever got here. He gave us, and people say, "Oh, this is outdated." What planet are you from? This speaks exactly to where we are right now. We just need to do it. So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among thieves? And he said, "He who showed mercy on him." Then Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." The lawyer asked, "Who is my neighbor?" Jesus never told him who his neighbor was. He told him how to be a good neighbor. But that's who a neighbor is, someone who loves people, helps people, take care of people. And we're to love our, and we're to be good neighbors and love people, even if they're strangers laying in a ditch. And you say, well, I just don't have to. Listen, when you really put God's thing first and people's God's thing, believe me, then God will take care of you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things to be added unto you. Every time I've been really trying to do something for myself and I couldn't get it to work, I just put it on the side and say, okay, I'm going to go do God's work. And it's focused on putting the kingdom first. And then all of a sudden that thing starts working out for me. I was trying to do that when we were selling the house we had on Angola, the first house we bought when we came here. This one that's in the picture. Every time you see our video history. And that house had all kind of problems. And it couldn't get anybody interested in selling it. Couldn't find another house. And I've just spent all my time out looking for a house and trying to find a realtor, trying to get to sell that house. And all of a sudden, that verse came to my mind. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And all these things be added to you. I said, okay, I'm going to get back on God's work. I'm going to start doing the work of ministry, and I'm going to forget this house. And I really went back to work, focused on God's ministry, and all of a sudden, a guy in the church volunteered to fix up that old house. Okay. And just volunteered. He's a great carpenter, and he came in and fixed that up. I mean, he did some major work in that thing. And then all of a sudden, I found the house that's still my house over in Stonebrook. Dottie made me move to this other thing. And I'll explain that another day, all the horrible things I have to go through with. And she forced me to live in this million-dollar house that somebody gave us. But anyhow, my house, God, all of a sudden, there'd been 40-some-odd people through that house and not a single offer made on it. God was saving that house for me when I started putting God's work first. And God worked all that out. I got that house at a great price. And the other house sold almost like that. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added. Anybody believe that? I'm starting to believe that. Jesus used this Samaritan as an example of a good neighbor. If we'll be a good neighbor, then God will take care of us. And you have to have boundaries. You have things you have to do. You got to wash your dishes. But at the same time, if God gives you an opportunity to help somebody, it'll be to your advantage to do it. John 4:9, for the Jews have no, listen to this, this is that lady at the well that Jesus told her everything she'd ever done at Jericho. John 4:9, for Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. That's what she said. Jews have no dealings with Samaritans, and yet this Samaritan helped that Jew. Jews and Samaritans pretty much hated each other. Jesus knew their hatred. That is why he used a Samaritan in this parable. Today, Jesus would say a black man drove by and found a white man robbed and beaten up and took him to a hospital and took care of him. That's what Jesus would say. Of course, you can reverse it. A white man drove by and found a black man that had been beaten up and robbed, and he put him in his Yukon or Cadillac or Suburban or whatever or a Toyota and drove him to the hospital and took care of him. See, this is God's way, and the only way to rid ourselves of racism is to be good Samaritans. Be a good Samaritan to everybody. And you can tell if they really care about you or not. You can care if people. You can tell. You don't have to be guessing all the time. You see, this is the only way to make it to heaven. This is what Dr. Martin Luther King, he preached. Of all he went through, he preached love. I don't have time to go into a bunch of quotes, but you know it's true. We need to be able to recognize love. We can tell the difference between when someone loves us and when someone don't. When someone don't. You see, Harry Telford and I, we've been best friends and neighbors for, I guess, about 30 years. Our kids grew up together playing in our backyards. And his property at my house, my backed up right to his. We walked right out of my yard into his. And if you don't know Harry, he's about a 9 foot tall black man. Okay. He's one of my best friends in the whole world. If I had a problem the other night, I'd call him. If he has problems, he calls me. And I mean, we've been friends forever, seems like. And we was at a victory one night, and I'm no country boy, and I have a tendency to call everybody boy. And I noticed I'd called Harry boy two or three times. I said, Harry, I've called you boy two or three times, but you know I don't mean anything by that. He said, oh, I can tell when people love me. He knew he was just an old dumb country boy. I didn't mean anything by it. He could tell I loved him. Can you tell when people love you? It's very important to be able to tell that. To know when somebody really loves you, and those are the kind of people you want to keep in your life and not get mad over somebody who's spewing hate and break off with that person because of some lying devil that the Satan has put into your life to lie to you. Love, love, love. By this shall all men know that you're my disciple.